love on the lip tour greens where dreams rise above balls deep swingers they're taking the scene with big sticks and bogey boys living the dream lip pods the sound where the stories are told eureka's and two ballers going for gold regular flex and shanks it's quite the hook grab a seat tune in let's take a closer look.
So grab your imaginary driver, maybe an imaginary caddy too.
We always need a caddy.
Because we're diving into the July Metal timeline, starting right from the first tee. Let's get into it. Okay.
So let's get into it. The front nine, that's where the early moves and maybe the early stumbles really set the tone, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
After just three holes, you already got a feel for how things might shake out. Paul Wood, Woody, he came out absolutely flop.
Didn't he just? Straight to four under par. Got an early birdie on hole one.
Yeah, hole one, that's a par four, stroke index 12. So, you know, technically one of the easier ones on paper.
Right. Easier based on the handicap index. But starting with a birdie there, that's still a statement, isn't it? Puts down a marker.
Totally. Shows intent. But Red Libbits, as we know, it doesn't just roll over.
Nope. Even Woody found that out pretty quickly. Bogey's on two and three.
Yeah. Hole two is a par five, stroke index six, and hole three, a par four, stroke index two. So significantly tougher holes right after the first.
And who else was starting well?
Well, we had a tie for second at minus one. Tom Whitelaw, Gareth Coulter, and Kelvin Monroe. All finding a good rhythm early on, navigating those tough holes pretty well. And just behind them, you had a bunch at even par. Tony Money, King Louie, and Danny Annis, the club champ.
Both of them started with a bogey on one, didn't they? But then steadied the ship with pars on three.
Yeah, that ability to just, you know, take a hit early and not let it spiral, crucial.
And speaking of bouncing back, Justin Gledhill Carr. Wow, double bogey on the first hole.
Ouch, that's a rough start.
But he clawed it back, got back to even par after just three holes. That's impressive.
Seriously impressive. It's all mental, isn't it? Just reset, next shot, don't let one bad hole ruin the round.
Unlike maybe poor Henry Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of early frustration for him.
Yeah, the three-footer on hole two left it short for a bogey. Those ones sting.
They really do. Those little misses add up. And some guys were facing uphill battles right away.
Yeah, quite a few started over par. Chris O'Donoghue, COD, he had a double on the first, so plus one.
Lee Merriweather, bullseye. Even tougher, triple bogey on one.
Oof. And Malk Dhami and Randeep Gill, Deepa, they ran into trouble on hole two, triple and double bogeys respectively.
It makes for a long day when you start like that. Puts you under pressure immediately. Some early struggles. Linus Bumbleys, hole one sounds like a disaster movie.
Oh, it does. Thinned it out of a bunker.
Into a bush.
Suspended in a bush, yeah. Had to take a drop in heavy rough, ended up with a nine. A nine on the first.
Oof. That's not the start you dream of.
Definitely want to forget that one quickly. And speaking of tough starts, Suki Saran celebrating his birthday.
Oh, dear. Birthday round pressure.
Yeah, it didn't help. He had a quadruple bogey on two and three. So a memorable birthday for sure, but maybe not for the golf.
What about the teens early on?
Well, after three, balls deep and regular flex were tied at the top. Four under, strong starts from both.
Setting the pace. Who was chasing?
Big sticks were close behind at minus three. Shanks and Big Hook at minus two, two ballers at minus one.
Okay, so five teams right in the mix already, separated by just a few shots.
Yeah, told you the team comp was going to be tight too, every point counting from the get-go.
Right, so moving on, holes four, five, and six. How did things look after that stretch?
Well, things started to settle a bit, but also shift. Woody, Paul Wood, he actually extended his lead.
Really? Even with that double dogey he had.
Yeah, he had a double on hole four, which is a par three, stroke index 16, so relatively easier on paper. But despite that slip up, his play around it was so strong, he got to minus five overall.
Wow, that's serious resilience. Shake off a double on a par three and still extend the lead. Impressive.
It really is. Shows he wasn't dwelling on it, just focused forward. And speaking of focus, Tom Whitelaw played smart.
He climbed up, didn't he, to solo second.
Yep, got to minus three. And that birdie on hole four was key. Apparently, he saw Danny Innes go long.
Learning from the group.
Exactly. Took one less club, knocked it to about 4 feet. Easy birdie. Just clever golf.
Love that. Using your eyes, adapting. Meanwhile, King Louie and Danny Innes, they made moves too.
Big time. Both jumped up to T3 at minus one. They both birdied hole six.
Hole six, par four, streak index 14. decent scoring chance there.
Yeah, and they took it. Showed they could capitalize when the opportunity arose, kept them right in the hunt.
What about Gareth Coulter? He was still T3.
He was, yeah, still at minus one. But it was a bit of a roller coaster for him through that stretch. Bogey on four, birdie on five, bogey on six.
Up and down, but holding his ground overall
shows
grit.
Definitely. Elsewhere, we saw Kellen Munroe, who started, well, he dropped back a bit, but Chris Stevens made a nice steady climb up the board.
So yeah, leaderboard constantly shuffling. Always does, doesn't it?
Pretty much. And the team leaderboard evolved quite a bit too after six.
Balls deep were still leading.
Oh yeah. They really pushed on, got to minus seven. Looked very strong at that point.
Minus seven after six. That's flying. What about the chasers?
Well, it tightened up behind them. Regular Flex and Shanks and Big Hook both moved into a tie for second at minus four.
Okay, so a proper race developing there.
For sure. Two ballers were still right there at minus three. Big Sticks had dropped back a bit to even par.
So yeah, balls deep, pulling away slightly.
Yeah.
But a real scrap forming for second place. The plot thickens heading to the turn.
Right, the turn. After nine holes. And this is where it got really interesting, as you said.
You could feel the momentum shifting, couldn't you? Woody's comfortable lead. Well, it wasn't so comfortable anymore.
Not at all. Golf, eh? He'd been cruising, looked unshakable, then bang. Double bogey on hole seven, a tough par four.
And then hole nine. That hole caused some carnage all day, didn't it? Par four, stroke index 10.
It really did. And it bit Woody hard. A triple bogey there.
Wow. From leading comfortably to suddenly being in a tie for the lead at minus two. Just like that.
So joining Woody at minus two were Tom Whitelaw. He had a bogey on seven, but was otherwise solid.
And Danny Innes, the club champ, making his move.
Yeah, a crucial birdie on hole eight. That tricky par three brought him right into that tie for the lead.
So three players tied at the top heading into the back nine. Fantastic setup.
Couldn't ask for much more drama. And Tony Money, King Louis, he was right there too, wasn't he?
Yeah, still plugging away, super consistent, just one shot back at minus one, steady Eddie.
That consistency often pays off, especially when others are going up and down. And Chris Stevens and Justin Gledhill Carr both climbed to even par.
And Justin Gledhill Carr, he had that moment on hole eight, didn't he?
Yeah.
The self-talk.
Yes. The raw, unfiltered inner monologue caught on course. You've got to hit it. It's a birdie putt, you prick.
Followed quickly by, don't put that on the chat. Brilliant.
Shows you how much it means, doesn't it? Every single shot, the internal battle. Even if sometimes you'd rather keep those thoughts internal.
Absolutely. Proper passion.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the coin, though, Henry Jackson had a tough time on eight.
Yeah, a quadruple bogey for Henry there. That hole could be really punishing.
Malk Dami and Kelvin Munroe also seemed to struggle on those closing holes of the front nine. Lost some ground.
They did. But talk about recovery. Linus Bumblies. Remember the guy with the nine on the first hole?
The bush guy. You're not going to tell me.
He birdied hole nine.
Get out. After a nine on the first, he birdies the ninth. Stroke index 10.
Yep. Birdied the ninth. Talk about mental strength. From potentially packing it in to making a birdie on a tough hole. Incredible.
That is genuinely amazing. Just shows you should never, ever give up in this game. What a story unfolding there.
Absolutely. Pure grit. But hole nine wasn't kind to everyone, as we said. Simon Ford, 40, had a disastrous nine there.
And Suki Saran, the birthday boy, another scorecard ruining nine.
Yeah, that hole definitely left its mark on a few scorecards heading into the back.
Okay, so team standings at the turn. Balls deep, still out front.
They were, yeah. Still at minus seven. Very solid front nine from them as a unit.
But the chasing package shuffled.
Big time. Two ballers made a significant jump. They got to minus four, clear second place. Really strong finish to the front line for them.
What happened to regular Flex and Shanks and Big Hook?
Regular Flex dropped back to third at minus three, and Shanks and Big Hook were at even par.
Okay, so balls deep leading, two ballers chasing hard, regular Flex still in it. The back nine team battle looked set to be intense.
Definitely.
Right, onto the back nine, the championship stretch, as they say. And the pressure really started to mount, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. After 12 holes, the individual leaderboard was just jammed.
A four-way tie at the top.
Yep. Four players locked at 200 par. Woody, King Louis, Danny Innes, and Gareth Coulter.
Wow. Anyone's game at that point. Talk about setting the stage for an explosive finish.
Exactly. And the drama, well, it just kept coming. Danny Innes. What a roller coaster for him.
He had that rough start to the back nine, didn't he?
Brutal. Lost his first drive on hole 10, par 4, stroke index 9. Ended up three putting for a triple bogey.
Ouch. Triple bogey to start the back nine, especially when you're tied for the lead. That could finish you off mentally.
You'd think so, but this is Danny Ennis we're talking about, club champion resilience. Two holes later, hole 12, par 4, stroke index 11.
Don't tell me.
He chips in from just off the green for EGLE.
No way. A chip in eagle after a triple bogey two holes before.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Triple bogey eagle. That's just golf. Meanwhile, Tom Whitelaw slipped back slightly to minus 1 with a bogey on 12. Chris Stevens held steady at minus 1, just kept grinding.
Not everyone found joy on those holes, though. Anthony Nalezak had a torrid time.
Yeah, really tough stretch for Anthony. A scorecard ruining 10 on hole 11. And hole 11, well.
That's the beast, isn't it? The hardest hole on the course.
By a distance. Average plus 1.78 strokes over par for the day. Just brutal. Making a bogey there felt good.
So a 10 there.
Wow.
And then he followed it up with a train wreck 9 on hole 12.
Yeah, you really feel for him there. Red Libbit's showing its teeth on the back 9. No hide of place.
None at all. So with all that individual drama, how did the team leaderboard look after 12? Even tighter.
You bet. Fascinatingly, balls deep and two ballers were now tied for the lead at 6 under.
Neck and neck. The pressure must have been immense between those two teams.
Huge pressure. Regular Flex were still hanging there at minus 4, and Shanks and Big Hook, they started to make a bit of a move, got back to minus 1.
Okay, so the top two tied, Regular Flex close, Shanks and Big Hook gaining momentum. This was shaping up brilliantly for the final 6 holes. Mm-hmm. Every shot crucial.
Moving deeper now, after 15 holes, the tension just kept building. And Woody, Paul Wood, he managed to find another gear.
He pulled away again.
He did. Got back to 4 under par, even with a bogey on hole 14.
Hole 14, that's another tough one, isn't it? Par 4, stroke index 3.
Yep, one of the hardest. But despite dropping a shot there, his overall play was just so solid, he reestablished a clear 2-shot lead. Remarkable consistency.
Just kept grinding out pars, minimizing the damage. That's how you win tournaments. Who was chasing him then?
Tony Money, King Louis, moved into solo second at minus 2, still playing that incredibly steady game.
And behind him?
A 3-way tie for 3rd at minus 1. Tom Whitelaw, Chris Stevens, and Danny Ennis still battling away.
So the chase was still on, but Woody had definitely given himself some breathing room again. Made it his to lose, really.
Pretty much. Unfortunately, Gareth Coulter, who was right up there earlier, he had a really rough patch.
What happened there?
Just a brutal run. Double bogey on 13, triple bogey on 14, that tough stroke index 3 hole again, and then a bogey on 15. Went from minus 1 to plus 3 in just 3 holes.
Oof. That's painful. Shows how quickly it can unravel on the back 9 when the pressure's on.
It really does. Henry Jackson and Lee Merriweather, bullseye, they also dropped shots, losing ground. Randip Gill, Deepa, had a triple on 15.
And Malf Dami hit trouble too.
Yeah, Malk had a quadruple bogey on hole 14. That hole was just eating people up. Mistakes were getting really costly now.
Definitely. So this raises the question, how did all that affect the team standings with just 3 holes left?
Big shift. The two ballers took the lead, sole possession at 6 under par.
Wow, they made their move. Consistent push through the middle of the back 9 paid off.
Absolutely. Balls deep, who'd led for so long, they slipped back slightly to minus 5. Still right there, though.
And Shanks and Big Hook, they were moving earlier.
They kept climbing, moved into 3rd place at minus 4.
Okay, so 2 ballers leading by 1, balls deep 2nd, Shanks and Big Hook just 1 behind them in 3rd. Incredibly tight heading into the final 3.
Nail-biting stuff.
Okay, the penultimate stage.
Yeah.
After 17 holes, just 1 to go. The pressure must have been immense. How is Woody holding up?
Rock solid. Paul Wood maintained that commanding lead, got through 16, the par 5, with a solid par, still at 5 under.
Yeah.
Just looked completely in control.
Unflappable. Really impressive performance under the gun. What about the chase for 2nd?
Still tied. Tom Whitelaw and Tony Money, King Louis, both holding firm at 2 under.
And Tom had a clutch moment on 17.
He did, yeah. Hole 17, par 3, stroke index 17. Hit it in the left bunker, tricky spot, but got up and down for par, real pressure par that. Showed his short game skill.
Those are the moments that define a round sometimes. Elsewhere, Chris O'Donoghue, Codd, made a nice move.
Yeah, Codd got himself back even par. Good finish to his round shaping up.
But the pressure was clearly getting to some others.
Definitely. The course bites late. Chris Stevens had a tough hole 16, the par 5 stroke index 7. Made a triple bogey there, dropped back to plus 1.
Ouch, a triple on a par 5 late in the day really hurts.
It does. And Danny Ennis, the club champ, he also dropped back. Bogeys on 16 and 17 saw him slip to plus 1 as well. Lost touch with the leaders right at the end.
Shame for them. But the battle for the top 5 looked intense.
Really tight. 4 players tied at plus 3 heading to the last. Linus Bumbleys, Justin Gledhill Carr, Gareth Coulter, and Tom Jeffrey. all fighting for those crucial final positions.
Every putt on 18 was going to matter for them. Now, the team leaderboard. You said Shanks and Big Hook were moving?
Here's where it got really electric. Shanks and Big Hook, they made a massive late charge. They jumped into the lead.
Get in. After 17 holes, they're leading. At minus five.
Exactly. Found another gear right when it counted. Clutch scores coming in from their players down the stretch.
So what happened to the others? Balls deep and two ballers.
They were now tied for second.
Yeah.
Both at minus four.
Wow. So Shanks and Big Hook lead by one going into the 18th, with two teams breathing down their necks. The final hole was going to decide everything for the team title. And so, the grand finale. All 18 holes completed. The scores are in. Let's get to it. The champion.
Paul Wood. Woody held on strong, absolutely dominated. He wins the July medal, finishing at a brilliant 6-under par.
6-under? What a round. Did he par the last?
Actually, a slight wobble, a bogey on 18, the par 5, stroke index 5. But, you know, maybe a little victory lap bogey. His lead was safe by then. Just a masterful performance overall.
Totally commanding win. Huge congrats to Woody, who clinched second.
Tom Whitelaw secured a clear second place. Finished strong with par on 18 to post 3-under par. Excellent round from him.
Great playing. And third.
Tony Money King Louis. That consistency paid off. He finished at 2-under par for third place. Really solid. Avoided the big numbers.
Fantastic stuff from the top three. Then we had that log jam around even par.
Yeah, a three-way tie for fourth place on even par. Chris O'Donohue, COD, finished strong. Chris Stevens got in with a par on 18.
And Danny Ince. He was back at plus one after 17.
Danny being Danny. Spectacular finish. He drove it into the hay left on 18. Looked like trouble.
Oh, dear.
But somehow, he manufactured a birdie from there. Finished even par.
You are kidding me. A birdie from the hay on 18. That's pure fighting spirit. Incredible improvisation. What a finish for the club champ.
Couldn't make it up, could you? Proper resilience. And speaking of resilience, Linus Bumblies started with a 9.
Or Bushiro. How did he finish?
Finished strong. Par and 18 ended up at just 2 over par for the tournament. T7 finish. What a comeback story that is. Truly remarkable.
From a 9 on the first to T7, that's phenomenal mental strength. Justin Glidhill Carr and Gareth Coulter also finished T7 at plus 2 with pars on 18. Battled hard.
Yeah, a good fight from them. And then you saw the full range, didn't you? Malk Dami finished plus 6. Kelvin Monroe plus 11. Simon Ford 40 plus 12. Shows how tough the day was for many.
Team results, the champions revealed.
Right, the moment of truth for the teams. After that dramatic finish, Shanks and Big Hook are your July medal team champions.
They held on. Fantastic. What was their final score?
Combined score of 137, and it was a proper team effort. Spearheaded, of course, by Woody's amazing individual 66.
The anchor score.
But crucially, Linus Bumblies came in with a wild card score, a brilliant 71.
He leads us. The wild card. So his 71 after starting with a 9 was absolutely vital for the team win.
Absolutely essential. That score sealed it for them. What a contribution. Talk about redemption. From potential disaster to team champion. Just brilliant.
Amazing story. How close were the others?
Oh, incredibly close. Balls deep finished just one shot back in second place with 138. Tom Whitelaw's 66 was their wild card, backed up by Danny Innes' 72. So close.
Wow. One shot. And two ballers? They were leading after 15.
They finished third with 139. Tony Money's 6-7 was their wild card. Chris Stevens added a 72. So only two shots separated the top three teams in the end.
Incredible finish. What about the rest of the team standings?
Regular Flex finished fourth with 145. Swingers fifth with 148. Big Stick sixth with 158. Then the Eurekas, they had 74 points, but it looks like only one score counted towards their total.
So maybe didn't have two valid scores?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Affected their standing. And the Bogey Boys finished with 0 points. Tough day for them.
Right. So Shanks and Big Hook take the glory after a real nail-biter. Event prizes, who took home the bling?
Time for the prize giving. Who got the cash and the glory?
Obviously, Paul Wood. Woody had a good day at the office.
A very good day. Double winner. £40 for taking first place individually, plus another £5 for being on the winning team, Shanks and Big Hook.
Nice haul for him.
Okay.
Tom Whitelaw's excellent second place earned him 24 points.
Solid payday. And Tony Money, King Louis, his consistent third place, got him £16.
Good rewards for the top individual performances. And we have to mention
Linus Bumblies. He also gets £5 for being on the winning team.
Fantastic. From suspended in a bush to team prize winner, you couldn't write a better script. Resilience truly rewarded there.
Absolutely. A fiver well earned after that start.
Okay, let's geek out a bit with the competition stats, the deep dive into the numbers, best performances in specific areas.
Right, let's look at the benchmarks. Best front nine. Interesting. A three-way tie. Woody, Tom Whitelaw, and Danny Innes all shot 34 in the front.
Shows how well they all started, setting the pace. Impressive consistency from all three there.
But the best back nine, that was all Woody. A phenomenal 32 strokes coming home. That's where he really sealed the deal. Dominant finish.
32 on the back nine at Red Libbets, that's serious golf. Best gross score overall.
That went to our club champion, Danny Innes, with a 74. Excellent scoring without the handicap.
Shows his quality. What about the par threes and fives?
Best on the par threes was shared between Tom Whitelaw and Tony Money. Both played them in level par, 12 strokes. Shows real precision with the irons.
And the par fives, often key scoring holes.
Gareth Coulter was best there, finishing one under par across the par fives, 19 strokes total. Capitalized well on the longer holes, despite his struggles elsewhere.
Good to see. Most birdies or better.
Danny Innes again, he racked up 4 birdies or better during his round. Shows that attacking potential he has.
Definitely explosive.
Yeah.
Now, the dramatic swings. Biggest back nine improvement.
This is a great one. Suki Saran, the birthday boy. After that horror start, he improved by 14 shots on the back nine compared to his front nine.
14 shots. That's incredible. What a turnaround. Talk about digging deep and finding something. Fantastic bounce back on his birthday.
Absolutely brilliant resilience from Suki. On the flip side, the biggest back nine collapse. Unfortunately, that was Kelvin Monroe, who was 5 shots worse on the back nine.
Tough finish for Kelvin. Shows how hard it is to keep it going for 18 holes sometimes.
It really is. Finally, course insights. Easiest and hardest holes on the day.
Always interesting to see which ones players scored well on and which ones caused the most pain.
The easiest, relatively speaking, were holes 10 and 18. Both averaged 4.56 strokes, so just over half a shot over par. Decent scoring chances there.
Okay, so the start and end of the back nine offered some relief. The hardest, we mentioned it earlier.
Had to be hole 11. Averaged a brutal 5.78 strokes. That's plus 1.78 over par. A real monster on the day. Just surviving that hole felt like a win.
Wow. A proper test of golf, that one.
So wrapping things up, let's look at the bigger picture, the impact of the July medal on the overall LIB standings for the season.
Right. How did this result shake up the league table?
Well, Shanks and Big Hook's victory obviously cemented their lead. They're now on 80 points, pulling away a bit at the top.
Strong position for them. Who's leading the chase?
It shuffled things around quite a bit. Swingers are now in second with 66 points. Balls Deep are third on 61.
Okay, then two ballers.
They're close behind in fourth on 58 points. Then it gets really tight. Eureka's on 56, Big Six on 52, Regular Flex on 51.
Wow, only 7 points separating third down to seventh. That mid-pack battle is intense.
It really is. And the Bogey Boys are eighth on 44 points. So, yeah, Shanks and Big Hook have a lead. But the fight for the other spots and potentially challenging them later is wide open. Every event's going to count.
Definitely sets up an exciting remainder of the season. Loads still to play for.
Well, what a deep dive that was into the July medal at Red Libbets.
Absolutely packed with action, wasn't it, from Woody's dominant win.
To Danny Innes' crazy eagle after a triple.
Venus Bumbley's a bush adventure and incredible comeback.
And that team finish. Down to the wire, decided on the last hole. It genuinely had everything you want in a golf tournament.
Skill, drama, resilience, those unexpected twists. Brilliant stuff.
A proper showcase of competitive golf and, you know, the mental challenges that come with it.
So as you, our listeners, reflect on this incredible day,
yeah,
what's the one moment that really sticks in your mind?
Yeah, was it a specific shot, a player's struggle or triumph? That team battle.
And maybe think about what this kind of pressure, playing out hole by hole, tells us about performance, about handling setbacks.
Both on the golf course and maybe, you know, off it too. Perhaps Lannis's story is the big takeaway.
Yeah, maybe. Never give up after a bad start, right? The next shot, the next opportunity, it's always there for a comeback.
Spot on. Something to ponder. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Shanks like to party, they love a shindig. They get together whenever they win big. The beers are flowing, Dix takes a swig. Hey, Woody, were you wild card in the wig? Diggle on Dix, spinning Britney Spears. Linus has provided Lithuanian beers. Locust chokes on his pint. What the hell is this? It's a baked beer. We call it Captini. leads the way. Dazza brings the snacks and Ferrero Rocher. DJ Dix wonders why the dance floor is cross. You can never have too much Luther Vandross. They take turns cracking jokes and telling their tales as they slowly get hammered on raw farmhouse sales, partying into the night. As the evening rolls on, they call out tune as Dix drops to Celine Dion. This wind machine is smoothly humming, ticking over, gently thrumming. The others find the beatings numbing. Shanks are running. Thanks for coming. When the scorecard says Linus, score starts with minus. It has to be good with Dixon, Paul Wood. When you need to succeed, Darren Reed takes the lead. You can mess with the best when you're blessed with Romish. To the Harlem Globetrotters of this Liptor year, we raise a dooming as a Lithuanian smoke beer. From the start they showed that greatness beckoned, and the field were left to play for second. Week on week.